Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Rise.
It's time to wake on up.
Wake up.
With a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh! The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
The standard is the standard.
Damn right it is. Setting the standard high. Set the tone for the weekend. It's a payday Friday. Halfway home here. We got Niners, Jaguars, week four. Is Purdy going to start? Is it going to be Mac Jones? Is Jonathan Kuminga crisis going to be resolved over this weekend? Warriors media day is on Monday. What's going on with the Giants? Is Bob Melvin going to last through Monday? That's the last really question. They're not playing for a playoff spot, I'll tell you that. Is Kyle Freeland pitching this weekend? Oh.
Saturday.
Oh, that's must-see. Devers taking him deep.
Let's hope he pimps it out afterwards.
Let's hope. Joe, I'm feeling good this morning, even though we're getting a little upset about the whole Jonathan Kuminga crisis. The situation,
I'm not upset.
The frustration is abound.
I'm not
possible.
Upset. How are they going to run practice on Tuesday with 10 guys?
Well, we'll ask Steve Kerr.
5-on-5.
No. See, you. So you're just going to go 5-on-5. Got it. Okay. Got it. What is this, the CYO St. Brennan's Bears?
You can do like three cone drills and stuff, you know? Work on the free throws.
Q Frazier's going to D up Steph.
I see it before the game all the time. It's what he's doing.
I mean, the first five fans that show up can take part in the practice.
Bruce Q Frazier's got the greatest beard in the NBA. It's not even close. It's true. I'll take it over James Harden. By the way, you can watch us, and I don't have a beard anymore. I shaved it. You can look at this glorious mustache.
What are you talking about? That's not shaved.
I got stubble.
Yeah.
Oh, I grew some then, I guess. You can watch us on YouTube. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal Finance of the dealer. And Joe, we're coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. So I teased a conversation about head coaches. I don't know if you saw the news yesterday, but one of your favorite head coaches in the NBA got a raise and got an extension. Do you know who that is?
No.
J.J. Redick got extended. Yeah, I know. J.J. Redick.
Let me guess. His podcast deal got extended with Draymond?
No, a four-year, $32 million extension with the Los Angeles Lakers.
Wow.
There you go.
Wow.
So he got extended there. Lakers had a solid first season, although they were one and done, and he played his starters an entire game, and that ended horribly, and they lost to the Minnesota Timberwolves. So that happened. He gets rewarded. It got me thinking, though.
What?
Steve Kerr. Hold on.
1 year. Wow.
I don't know. It's very curious.
I like how he had his naps timed out.
He did have his naps timed out very well. If Steve Kerr were to sign an extension today, how would you feel about it?
I don't know. How does Steph feel? If Steph's in, I'm in.
That's it.
I'm doing what Steph Curry wants to do.
I'm just going to do what Steph wants me to do now.
That's exactly it. That's kind of my setting.
Well, what if Steph's only here for two more years and Steve Kerr signs a four-year contract?
Well, I'll, worry about the other couple of years after Steph.
Now, the reason I ask that is because of the timing, and timing is everything in life, as you know, Joe. Could you imagine
if Steve Kerr signs an extension today before Jonathan Kuminga's resolution. No, I just
they give him a coach option.
That's what I'm saying. That'd be hilarious. He's got a player coach option, right? Like, I was just thinking about the absurdity of it and how everyone, because I know it's the Lakers and it's down there, but like, the whole thing with this offseason has been LeBron, he doesn't feel valued. He wants to be rewarded more. I was like, dude, you're like 40. Like, it's great. You're still playing an elite level and you're great.
Joe,
like, that's awesome.
I heard from a birdie that there are guys in town waiting for Jonathan Kuminga to figure out what he's going to do so that they could walk right into the Chase Arena headquarters, whatever you want to call it, and just sign their deal. Wow. Everyone's waiting. Everyone, you're laughing. It's like now. So I just want you to think about this. Jonathan shows up on Tuesday after finally accepting whatever it is. Hey guys, how you doing? Hey, Al Horford, nice to meet you. Sorry I made you wait at the JW Marriott for the last 8 days trying to sign your contract as I figured out my situation.
Al Horford's a professional. He's not going to care about that. He knows all these guys know the business of the NBA,
yeah,
Joe.
Yeah, but there is a human element to this.
But I don't want to hear if it's like Jimmy Butler. I don't want to hear if it's Al Horford. I don't want to hear from anyone new that's getting upset about this.
It's not upset. It's just... Again, like...
Then what is it?
I think there's a hierarchy in any industry of, you know, where you stand. And when you're the guy making a ruckus and maybe you think higher of yourself than your peers do, I think it would be naive to think that there's not a human element of, like, really, this guy? Like, we do it in every industry.
So the reason I brought up Kerr, because I don't think you could talk about Jonathan Kuminga without talking about the head coach in this scenario, because... Everyone that is either, you know, I'm not calling everyone a Jonathan Kuminga stan, or people that defend him or try to gas him up. You heard the Aaron Turner interview the other week. It comes back to the head coach because he's in charge of playing time.
I still
minutes.
Can't believe he did a full hour with Steiny and Go.
It was very long.
Incredible. It's incredible.
Some of the answers were like 10 minutes, it felt like.
I was so jealous.
Really? Really?
What?
I don't know. I listened to the entire thing. I'm not poo-pooing
the
interview
itself. No, I'm jealous because, like, I think it's, like, that is a feather in the cap moment. You got someone's agent on for an hour.
I'm not going to lie. It kind of lost the luster for me when he went on, like, 6 or 7 podcasts again. Like, it kind of was just like, oh, so he's just doing the rounds with everyone. I thought it was a special, like, 95.7 The Game exclusive. And
it turns out,
he did it with Brian Windhorst.
How long have you been listening to radio in this market?
Long time.
Yeah, I have, too. And I can't remember anyone's agent doing in an hour and then taking calls from the fans. It was crazy. Also, while filming in the gym while the guy's working out.
They almost got JK on. That would have been the moment. And I guess there were some technical difficulties there. We were efforting, and it just didn't happen.
We didn't have the microphone option?
We didn't. There was no snare in his headphones, as Eminem would say.
Stop!
Thank you. But the reason I bring up Kerr is because there's a lot of people that blame Steve Kerr for the failures or the lack of success for Jonathan Kuminga at times because of the minutes and the minute allocation and not putting him out there and not giving him enough runway when it comes to playing with, you know, Steph, Draymond, Jimmy, that trio, whatever it is. And Aaron Turner, he brought this up. He's like, I don't think it's a large enough sample size to automatically determine that it's not going to work. Remember there once upon a time, there was the notion that him and Wiggins couldn't be on the floor together. They couldn't thrive together. And then eventually it started working out. And same with Jimmy Butler. Jimmy said, hey, I think we can thrive together on the court. So I understand there's some frustration, you know, but I will defend Steve Kerr in this. And last year, he was dealt a very difficult hand, and he took that hand all the way to the second round of the playoffs. You have to give the head coach some credit. He got a brand new player in Jimmy Butler. He had to navigate the Kuminga injury. They were a 10th seed in the Western Conference. Now, they ended up still being a play-in team, Joe, but at one point, they were a 4 seed, almost. Like, they had an opportunity to have home court advantage, which sounded absurd if you were to tell a Warriors fan that in January. He helped navigate Jimmy, Steph, Draymond, Pods, Moody. And then, yes, was it frustrating for fans that were fans of Jonathan Kuminga that JK didn't get integrated smoothly into all that? Well, they were trying to win games, and they didn't have room to tinker around. Now, what I'm going to be fascinated by early on when Jonathan Kuminga comes back, if he does, or whatever, when he comes back, because I think he's going to come back. Let's just say that. What's the runway going to look like early on in the season? What's it going to look like with JK, Jimmy, Draymond, and Steph?
I have no idea, because they only have 9 guys that we know. the 10th guy, Jackson Rowe, we saw, you know, ever so shortly. Like, I got to see what the rest of the roster looks like. But last year, what would happen? And I would say it all the time. Guys, GP2 will always be looked at as a better, you know, four option over Jonathan Kuminga. That's how he's going to be viewed. So if you're bringing back Horford and you're bringing back GP2 and you bring back Melton and you bring back Seth Curry, I think that completely knocks him out of the rotation.
So Steve Kerr joined our airwaves back in May.
Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. I just wanted to set this up because it's a good point. He joined our airwaves back in May because he joins us every week. Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game, home of the Warriors. We love our relationship with Steve and the fact that he comes on and gives us his time because he doesn't need to, quite frankly. And he's been part of the media. He gets the game. I think he is a very well-spoken person. It's what I always appreciate about the dynamic between him and Bob Myers. They gave us our time. He thinks about what he says, and he is very calculated. I think Steve Kerr is a very smart individual, and he's a hell of a coach. You don't just stumble into four championships as a coach. It just doesn't happen. So the people that say, oh, it could have been Mark Jackson, it could have been this.
Mark Jackson would have never.
No. The Warriors improved with Steve Kerr. Absolutely. This is what he had to say back in May about what he has to do to get better.
So he's going to be in our gym, and we're going to hammer home those points with him and try to get him to understand all those loose balls, all those long rebounds. Like, you know, with his athleticism, those are plays, for him to help us win. You know, he's got to get those rebounds. He's got to chase down those loose balls. He's got to run the floor, sprint the floor. And if he does all these things, then there's no question he can find a better role and find a better fit, you know, next to Jimmy and Steph and Draymond. So that's the goal as a coaching staff to try to help him achieve that and add those things to his game to give himself more of a chance to play.
And I guess my question is going to be early on in the season. Hell, we might see it early on in the preseason, which is next Sunday, first game against the Lakers. What's the runway going to look like? I'm very curious what the runway is going to look like early on. Preseason's not going to tell you everything, but just where his mindset's at, what he's looking for. What if the first preseason game Kuminga's out there and he dies for a couple of loose balls? Is that going to show everyone that he's all locked in?
I will bet you he does not dive for he's been here 4 years. I can't remember him diving for a ball once. That's just like some guys dive, some guys don't. I don't remember him ever diving.
I think he made some plays in the playoff series. I think so. He kept plays alive in that playoff series against the Timberwolves.
Diving is like that's a pods thing.
Okay.
It's a Draymond thing.
The pods thing also in the playoffs was not really showing up. So
I know, but diving is a very specific thing. Like, not everyone dives. I don't remember Clay. Clay's a great player. I don't ever remember a play where he dove on the ground.
This is the one, though, I keep coming back to from Kerr, on Willard and Dibbs back in May, that I am going to be kind of holding him to. You know, on if he could eventually play with, you know, the Jimmys, the Stephs, and the Draymonds, and giving him the runway to do so.
100%. I'm going to give that time next year. You know, assuming JK comes back, I will explore that right from the beginning. We didn't have that luxury this year. You know, Jimmy arrived and JK got hurt almost at the exact same time. And from the time Jimmy arrived, we were basically in the playoffs. Every game was huge for us. And so, while JK was out, as I've explained many times, we got really good. We got really good with Jimmy on the floor and JK injured, and we had to continue down that path and keep trying to win every game just to make the playoffs. So next year with a training camp and an 82-game season, absolutely. I will give that lots of time and try to make that fit as best as possible.
And as we talk about this team ad nauseum for the next months, next year, I'm going to hold him to that. He said that. He said he's going to give it time. So I'm going to take him at his word for that, Joe. Do you believe him?
That was in May?
That was in May. He said, if Kuminga returns, no. He said, if Kuminga returns, I'm going to give that some time. I
don't think you can hold him to that in May because you have no idea what the roster was going to look like come October.
What? He literally, all the question was, if Kuminga comes back, which he's going to be, he's going to give that some runway. He said 100%. No. We're not going to hold him to that?
I thought Wilmer Flores was going to be my starting first baseman. Then we got Devers.
But Bob Melvin never said, oh, Wilmer's playing every single day and we have to let him play through all these mistakes. He's saying he has to give it time for that.
I'm not
going to. What?
Yeah.
What? That's kind of absurd.
Well, no, wait. How much has changed on this team to make you think that we shouldn't hold him to that anymore?
What?
If Kuminga does come back, that's not the same as Rafi Devers coming in and changing things. The Warriors have not gotten a Rafi Devers type player this summer that would change that.
I think it's coach speak. I'm not holding him to something he said in May.
Well, it's totally coach speak. But we're still going to hold him to it.
All right.
Yeah, it's coach speak because if Kyle Shanahan said he'd like the same thing, whatever the equivalent of that is, we'd be holding his feet to the fire. We'd be crushing the guy.
I promise I'll get B-Rob in there.
Thank you. I'll promise to have Brian Robinson half the touches couple weeks.
Brian Robinson barely touched the ball on Sunday, and we won. It didn't matter.
I guess what I'm getting at here, Joe, is when it comes to these guys, and we love when Steve Kerr talks to us. We love the weekly with that Willard and Dibbs have. We love being able to talk to these guys. When it was Bob Myers, right? And getting that access, it's great.
Yeah.
Until, they start saying things like this, and then we start calling them out on it. And again, I'm only going to call him out if it doesn't happen. There remains to be seen.
So if he says something similar the week he signs, then it'll hold some gravitas with me. Something from May?
This was after the season, after it ended.
I know, but again, there's the scar of just losing and how fresh the wound was. I don't know. That's me personally. I'm not.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers, the celebrity guests? Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm not going to hold them from May. May was so long ago.
Do you like that he talks that much? Do you like that Steve Kerr is that
part of the job now?
Well, we had Mark Abanias on, KTVU sports anchor and legend, former anchor, obviously, Bay Area sports icon. He didn't like how, Kyle Shanahan speaks to the media or does interviews, or he thinks he's very, curt and short and arrogant. That's what he had to say about the way Kyle Shanahan speaks. I don't feel that way about Steve Kerr, although it does get to a point. If you're saying you're not holding him to that, then maybe he shouldn't have said it in the first place if he never intends to do it. Right? Is there too much of talking? Is that kind of...
I mean, he's trying to answer the... Look, the way I view these things when they're having conversations is they're answering the question on that day. And on that day, they might be saying or thinking or believing X, Y, and Z. And then months go on, okay? And your thought process might change.
I guess that's where fans start to lose faith in their head coaches then. If you're just going to blatantly lie to me...
I don't think it's lying. I think it's adjusting based on new information.
Again, back May 22nd, Steve Kerr on Willard and Dibbs on Jonathan
Kuminga. That was a week after the season ended.
There you go.
Okay.
100%. I'm going to give that time next year. Assuming JK comes back, I will explore that right from the beginning. We didn't have that luxury this year. Jimmy arrived and JK got hurt almost at the exact same time. And from the time Jimmy arrived, we were basically in the playoffs. Every game was huge for us. And so while JK was out, as I've explained many times, we got really good. We got really good with Jimmy on the floor and JK injured, and we had to continue down that path and keep trying to win every game just to make the playoffs. So next year with a training camp and an 82-game season, absolutely. I will give that lots of time and try to make that fit as best as possible.
He used words like 100% and absolutely. Again, Steve Kerr, he's an honest man. Says it with his chest. He is not afraid to go against the grain, whether it's a press conference. He's not afraid to talk about what's going on in our politics. He's not afraid of those things. So when he says something like that, I take him at his word. Because I don't view him as some liar or anything like that.
I think he felt that way on that day, and I think he was giving...
I guess what's changed since then, Joe? What's changed since then, genuinely?
Well, the roster might change a little in terms of who they bring in, who would supplant them. They might have thought on May 22nd, you know, there's no way GP2 comes back here.
Maybe he still might even make the team. We don't even know that.
I'm just saying, like, you know...
Currently, he's not on the team. Yes.
I mean, I think you're being very literal with this, like holding them, he's going to play and everything. I don't hold coaches to that. There are times when one person is rolling and you're feeling so good about them, the season goes on and things change. Like, I think about at the beginning of the year in 2019, Tevin Coleman was my running back. That's Kyle Shanahan. Tevin Coleman was my running back. Till he wasn't. And then this guy by the name of Raheem Mostert took a spot, and yeah, that's my running back. Oh, and in between, Matt Breida was my running back in between that. It's like things change.
Well, the reason why I'm bringing this up too, to compare and contrast with other coaches, is I know how upset you've been with Bob Melvin in the past in the San Francisco Giants.
Yeah.
And Bob Melvin, he made a move the other day that you didn't like when it came to Bryce Eldridge, when it came to Wilmer Flores, right? You wanted to see Bryce get that at bat, learn from his mistake, or maybe he has a great moment, and that's a big step for him confidence-wise going forward. So, you know, we had Dave Fleming on, and he was talking about, yeah, you know, it's an organizational thing. They want Bryce to get all those at-bats, and, you know, it wasn't great that he wasn't able to hit that, and Wilmer Flores came up, and that was a Bob Melvin move. I think we pick and choose when to get upset at head coaches and managers.
No, sometimes. I think the situations are dramatically different.
What
the
is
Giants
different?
Being out of the playoffs and their prized possession prospect who they refused to deal, they finally brought him up, and you have a guy who's stymieing him in terms of coming in to pinch hit for him in Wilmer Flores, who will not be on this team next year, who's a good guy, but he's not going to be on this team next year, taking a late game at bat for an opportunity for a young ascending player on a team not going to the playoffs is dramatically different from Steph Curry, you know, one of the greatest top 10 players of all time in his sport, his team with a four-time NBA champion coach. Like, there's just very different settings.
Are you holding Steve Kerr to his word when he says he is 100% and absolutely going to test out Jonathan Kuminga, Jimmy, Steph, and that whole crew? Are you holding him to his word, Warriors fans, when he said that back in May on our airways? Let's go to Mo in San Francisco. What's up, Mo?
Hey, Mo.
Good morning, boys. Good morning. How you guys doing?
Great. Talking Jonathan Kuminga, baby.
Yeah, so, like, I hear you. I guess to answer your question, I absolutely think we should hold him to his word, but I'm also, I don't think it's this, it needs to be that adversarial. The reality is this is his job. Like, of course he's going to do that.
Exactly.
What else is he supposed to do? This is what he's supposed to do. But you know what I think is even a bigger thing to consider is I think there's something about this situation and Jonathan Kuminga that has to push Kerr into the what's next conversation, right? Because if he's a coach, he's built his whole system around this really cool opportunity with someone that's this generational talent like Steph Curry, right? And then you've got this actually generational talent like Draymond Green. And so he's designed this whole system around these two unique players, which was amazing. We've had a great run with it. But if he's not able to create and evolve a new system with different talent, then maybe his time has come too, right? Maybe we need to be thinking about what's next for the organization. If he can't do that with someone that has such massive talent like Jonathan Kuminga, then I don't know if there's a future for him post Steph Curry, Draymond Green, etc.
See, that's an interesting point of view, and I actually don't think it's that far off. Look at Phil Jackson trying to implement the triangle at different places without Kobe or Michael Jordan.
We'll get into that on the other side. It's going to be brought to you by Pier 39. 888-957-9570 is the number. I also want to compare what's going on with the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan and what could become with the Steve Kerr and Golden State Warriors season approaching. We got preseason game one next Sunday at Chase Center. Warriors taking on the Lakers. I'll reveal what's going on the day before that game next Saturday because it's special. It's happening at Pier 39. I'll discuss more about it on the other side, and it's going to be brought to you by the Oakland Roots.
Except a little more informed.
Sounds great. Sounds like America probably loves him then. By the way, you know what America also loves? Dub Nation. Preseason's right around the corner. And 95.7 The Game is tipping things off in style. Join us at Pier 39 on Saturday, October 4th, for a Warriors preseason special you won't want to miss. Live appearances from the likes of Festus Ezeli, Zaza Pachulia, Kalena Azubuike, Tim Roy, and our very own Bonte Hill. Plus, your chance to win tickets to the first preseason game on Sunday, October 5th, as the Warriors host Bronny James and the Lakers. If that's not enough, Evan Giddings and Guru will be broadcasting live from 12 to 4. It's hoops, it's hype, and the season's almost here. On your station for everything Warriors, 95.7 The Game.
Was Bronny on the top 100 list?
No, he just missed out. He was an honorable mention.
No, he was not.
Nah, I got you there, though. I got you.
He's on the top 100 honorable mentions.
I do think Pods was an honorable mention. He just missed it, I'm pretty sure. But why are you guys looking at me like, no, I'm serious. Because last year, I think he was in the top 100 because of his rookie season. You guys are all looking at me like I'm
following along.
Okay, like it's not that great. Pause was, he was good.
We're enthralled with your dialogue.
Dude, at one point last year, you guys remember that stretch?
Hey, it's cool, Evan. We know you like Pods.
Well, I don't have my thesaurus isn't as large as Evan Giddings. I like Podziemski. I can't spell his last actually I can't spell his last name. Podziemski. Podziemski. There you go. Don't hit the bell.
If I was Podziemski, you know how we're like telling Kuminga what to do? If I was Podziemski, hey, Dougie, watch Peyton Pritchard tape. That's it. Just watch that tape. That's who you should be right there. And he's going to say, I'm more than that. Dude, Peyton Pritchard's a hell of a ball player.
Well,
Steve Kerr
said he wants Podziemski to be Austin Reeves. That's what he said in the past.
He's not big like Austin Reeves, though.
I think
he can't get his own shot like him.
It's funny because I think they're listed at similar height, but Austin plays a lot taller.
Are they the same height?
They're listed.
He looks way longer.
Maybe it's the hair for Pods and it's giving him a couple extra inches.
And
that's
he
fine.
Has an uncanny ability to draw fouls.
He does.
It's the Laker uniform, I think.
There you go. Miles is in Fort Mason, wants to join on the Steve Kerr conversation. 888-957-9570. Steve Kerr said back in May to Willard and Dibbs that he is 100% and absolutely going to give the runway for JK, Jimmy, and Steph to play together. Are you holding him to that, Warriors fans? What's up, Miles?
Hey, guys. Good morning. And on that note, Spadoni, actions over words. You know, Steve Kerr, I'm so sick of off-season talk. Of, you know, building up the next season. Look at the NFL, you know, of how certain teams had all the hype in the world, Denver Broncos, that haven't really panned out. And so with the Kuminga situation specifically, you know, when I initially saw his agent went on Windhorse podcast and aired out their grievances, I initially rolled my eyes and said, oh, God, this is so embarrassing. But then actually listening to it, the agent was pretty fair. An understanding of the situation, and I think, showed how the Warriors were being a little bit unreasonable in the name of quote-unquote cap flexibility. Sure, like, you know, it's good for teams to have cap flexibility, but they were also being, like, taking advantage of the situation. There was no space for other teams for restricted free agents, and so they wanted Jonathan to take a discount when Kerr had mismanaged his career. DNPs in the playoffs for someone as talented as Kuminga, get out of here. So Kerr being so hard on him when, you know, Podziemski and Wiggins for so long could be so unproductive, I think has been, you know, to the team's detriment. So, sure, say all the things that you want, but I wish it could work with JK. It obviously hasn't. It's time to trade him. You know, all this stuff about Malik Monk. I don't really care what the details are, but if we don't trade him, it's going to be drama in the preseason and early season, which I don't think is good for our team. If we get a couple picks, send him on out of town. I love you, JK.
But they can't lose the slot. See, like, you're
thanks, Miles.
I get it. Whenever you bring up finances, people roll their eyes.
Especially in the NBA.
But the CBA has, you know, kind of locked them in. And he's saying, like, oh, they wanted him on a discount. Yeah, every team wants to get as many guys on a discount as possible. Newsflash, so does your employer.
Yes. No.
So does every employer.
It's a good point on the salary slot. And Tim Kawakami on yesterday at Willard and Dibbs talked about that very thing. That's the main reason why they want him back is to keep said slot.
The sense I get other than we know that Joel Legit likes Kuminga, is that they're not like completely saying this is our greatest player and Joe loves him, so we're never, you know, they're not doing that. They're doing, let's maintain the trade value. And the way they maintain the trade value in their minds is to stay at 2 years, 48. Now, could they go to a third year guaranteed? Yes, they could. You know, I don't think he'd be on the team in 3 years. So they're not paying that salary, but I can see where they're saying he has not earned this. And he's certainly not earned a player option because they have not given Steph Curry a player option. You know, they gave two, Kevin Durant and Draymond Green. And Kevin Durant, you did it because you had to do it to get the guy. Draymond Green, you did it because he's never gotten the max. He's gotten his extension max, but it's been 22, 24, 26. It's not been 44, 48.
So it's the salary slot that's the main thing over the player at this point. And
him defending Draymond because he didn't get the max is like kind of funny.
Wow. I mean,
I'm not mad at Tim. He got that from someone probably very credible regarding like the ins and outs of that. Draymond was never worth the max. I love Dray, but he's never worth the max. We don't pay max contracts in the NBA for defense. We just don't. Like, well, that is the league.
He's, according to ESPN Top 100, the 51st best player in the NBA heading into the season. So that's something.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of that list. I have to chew on it a little.
Got to chew on it.
Who's number one?
Number one, I got it right over here. So I'll start at seven because that's where Steph was. And right behind Steph, hold on, right behind Steph was LeBron at eight. Steph at seven. Six is Anthony Edwards. Five is Victor Wembanyama.
Wait a minute, so Steph's higher than LeBron? All right.
Yep, Steph, he's back-to-back years, he's higher than LeBron.
Cool.
You still want LeBron, by the way.
I would. I'd take LeBron right now.
Antetokounmpo at four, the Greek freak.
Take him too.
Luka Doncic at number three.
Okay.
Ozempic Luka, by the way, he's on those Amazon ads, he looks skinny.
Throw some my way.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, number two. And number one is Nikola Jokic.
Number two.
Scotty Doan. I can never get enough Austin Powers references, by the way. So Jokic, number one. That's about right. He's so good, dude. If he wins another one, he is going to be in the top 10 of all time. Like, conversation. He needs one more, but I think they can do it.
Who are you bumping out? That's the question I always have.
Who am I bumping out? Well, who is in the top 10 right now? If we all can agree on it, can we? I don't even think we can agree on that as a society. We can't agree on anything, let alone
Will
that.
Kareem. You know, some people have Olajuwon in there. I don't know.
Shaq,
I don't know. Yeah,
Tim Duncan, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson,
Bill
LeBron.
Russell.
Yeah,
you know, Magic's definitely for me is in there.
Steph.
Yeah, I mean, there's like 46 guys in my top 10.
There you go. So you just, oh God. It's funny, and Tim in Raleigh, North Carolina, we'll get to you in a second. I know you love talking Kuminga and Kerr. I did want to do a little compare and contrast with the head coaches right now, and we could put Bob Melvin to the side because we don't even know if he's going to last a Monday. But Kyle Shanahan and Steve Kerr, we always like to compare and contrast these guys because Shanahan's been so close, Joe, so close. Twice he's been to the Super Bowl, had leads in the fourth quarter, and just couldn't get it done. Steve's been there. He's had some heartbreak, right? 2016. It's definitely a stain on his career. 2019, I think we could kind of give him a pass. I mean, you lose Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant the way that's tough, man. Like, that's brutal. I think they could have won had Klay stayed healthy, even with Kevin Durant out of there. It would have been close. But that's brutal. I think we give him a pass for there. 2016, it was a mess. You're up 3-1. You got to win that. But it is funny how we view Steve Kerr in regards to, like, the top coaches in the NBA. And I get it. He was the head coach of the Olympic team. They won it. They didn't lose a game. I know Celtics fans felt some type of way about him because of Jason Tatum. But outside of that, I don't think we give Steve Kerr his flowers when it comes to being one of the great head coaches in the game. Do you agree on that?
I just think basketball coaches get less credit than football coaches.
Why?
Well, because football coaches dictate every single play. Everything's about scheme and X's and O's. You know, we huddle up before every play. That play is dialed into the quarterback's ear. Like, that's how the sports are very, very different.
But there was a noticeable difference from when Steve Kerr took over the team from a Mark Jackson. He definitely had an imprint on the style of play.
I didn't say coaches don't matter.
No.
I'm saying when you compare the two sports, you know, football coaches have more of an imprint on the play-to-play and the team and the roster than a basketball coach.
But I guess what I'm getting at here is whenever we think of the greatest dynasties of all time, we automatically attribute a lot of that to the head coach. Bill Belichick, greatest head coach of all time, greatest dynasty of all time. Bill Walsh, one of the greatest dynasties of all time. Jimmy Johnson, right? You go there, you can go the list. Greg Popovich, Phil Jackson. Steve Kerr's never brought up. And that might have been the most dominant team we've ever seen in the history of the sport. Most dominant team, right? A 2017-2018 team was insane.
Okay, well, I mean, they went 24-0 with Luke Walton, right?
Okay, so, is that why? Okay.
Well, I mean, just, I think that...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Switzer won, too, with the Jimmy Johnson. Everyone likes to say it's Jimmy Johnson's guys, and Barry Switzer won a Super Bowl. Right?
I'm not saying either. You're asking why, and yeah. I'm just trying to, like, we never put any of the Steelers coaches as the greatest coaches of all time, Chuck Knoll, right? And so I think certain teams and certain eras get a little diminished, you know? It's just, I think it's just how, like, sports works. And I think with the Warriors, people, right or wrong, there's a sense that anybody could have coached those teams. I don't agree with it, but that's how people view it.
Let's go to Tim in Raleigh, North Carolina. He wants to join in.
Am I wrong?
Well, you're not wrong. I'll answer it after Tim, but I just think we like to pick and choose from you know, Phil Popovich, and people will never probably put Steve on the level because he was a pupil of those guys. So there is this aspect of, you know, it's the latest thing, and I know you get mad at me. This is the last thing I saw is the greatest thing ever, and I'm not saying that when it comes to Steve Kerr. I just think we sleep on the guy and what he's been able to accomplish in this league.
Well, most
because
people,
a lot of people put Spoelstra over him. Spoelstra hasn't won as much as Steve Kerr has.
Yeah, but
Spoelstra had LeBron James, maybe the greatest player ever.
But he's done it with how many different – he's been to the finals with how many different best players?
Been to the finals, but didn't win the finals.
I'm just saying, I think it matters. Like, different versions of the teams. Like, part of what makes Phil's legacy so comprehensive is that Phil did it for the Bulls and then did it for the Lakers, then did it again with the Lakers, right? And so, you know, I think doing it with different versions of the team does kind of carry a little more weight. When we're discussing the all-time greats, right? Like, Larry Brown has this cachet about him in the NBA because he did it at a variety of locations for a variety of different levels, professional and college. You know, Jimmy Johnson did it in Dallas, didn't do it in Miami, but he also did it in Miami. Jim Harbaugh, why is Jim Harbaugh so beloved right now? San Diego State, Stanford, the Niners, Michigan, back to the Chargers. Like, I think that sometimes, you know, doing it for a variety of teams. I think Steve Kerr's legacy, what's it look like past Steph Curry?
We may never know.
People ask that. We might never know.
Yeah.
Like, Joe Torre, for me, takes a slight hit, even though he's great, takes a slight hit. Because I remember him as Loser Joe before the Yankees. And then I remember what he did with the Dodgers where he didn't do a whole lot of winning. And most people revere this man. I don't know. The NBA is just different. I think the NBA is different. There are certain guys that are canonized, Phil being one of them, and then there's others that we just, Red Auerbach never gets no love.
Tim, what's up, man? You're on the Morning Roast.
What's up, Joe? Hey, real quick, I think, you know, what Shasky's getting at, but those coaches can create systems for the talent that they have, you know, and I think the difference is Popovich has won a variety of different ways. Even you look at, even Phil, Phil told you back in the days, I didn't create the triangle for Jordan. I created it for everybody else because Jordan could do what he wanted. So, Phil, the triangle worked in L.A. It worked in Chicago. You just look at – and Spo has won in different ways. Like, they – you look at Belichick back when he had the two tight end system.
Yep.
He created a system for around that. And then he created a system with the Randy Moss teams, right? Like, the great coaches can create system based on the talent. So when you look at Steve, no disrespect, but, you know, look at that World Cup team without Steph, and they, what, came in sixth place. Or look at last year. Imagine that Olympic team without Steph. Steph won those last two games. So his system is Steph. So no disrespect, but his system is Steph.
I mean, in fairness, Tim, if we're using that, like the system is Tom Brady then. The system is Michael Jordan. The system is Kobe Bryant and Shaquille O'Neal.
They ran the ball. And yes, Tom threw it at you. They were a defense lead. Like, he evolved over time.
The book is out on Bill Belichick right now. He is. No. We have seen as soon as Tom Brady left, it has been a dumpster fire for him.
Of the Lawrence Taylor defense in New York that Parcells won championships with. Come on.
I don't think Tim was done. If he calls back, we can put him on. He didn't get back to his call. Like, it's okay.
You got to give Bill Belichick respect.
Everyone's giving him respect. That's fine. Everyone's going to tell me he's the greatest head coach of all time. He doesn't need me to cape up for him. I'm telling you, it's more because of Tom Brady than it was Bill Belichick.
That's not fair.
What's up, Tim?
He coached Lawrence Taylor. Come on.
You guys, can y'all hear me?
Yeah, you're back. You're back.
Hello? Okay. Yeah, but that wasn't really what I wanted to talk about. I really wanted to say, it's not about Steve doing what he says with J.K. I think he'll definitely do it. It's about what he's going to tolerate. You know, as soon as he looks off step, he's going to be on the bench. As soon as he goes ISO when he shouldn't, he's going to be on the bench. He always does what he says he's going to do. It's just, what is he going to tolerate? And I think to what Shasky's point earlier about how the teammates may feel because of J.K. stalling them and all of that, I think we got to remember who J.K.'s vets were when he came up on this team as a rookie. A young man named Andre Iguodala and Kevon Looney. And what did Kevon Looney say when he left? The Warriors always lowball you, and it's hard to play here. That was Kevon. And what we know what Iggy is about. Iggy is about his money. He has used the other teams, the leverage, to get money from the Warriors forever. This was who his vets were coming up. And we know Draymond. Draymond is about the money. So Draymond ain't going to hold nothing against this kid. I mean, at the end of the day, he's got to do what he's got to do. I hope to God this is my last call ever about J.K. being a Warrior. I hope in the next 3 days, some way, somehow, he is not, so we can move on just for the betterment of this kid and the betterment of this team. And I just, you know, hopefully it's coming to an end, fellas, quite honestly, because it's old at this point. Just let the guy go. Get whatever you can and let him go. So, but that's all I have, fellas.
Thanks, Tim, in Raleigh, North Carolina. By the way, Sports Talk on 95.7 The Game is presented by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series Tulsa King. This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he's built and to protect his empire. Watch the new season of Tulsa King, now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Joe.
Yes, Joe.
We have to give some respect to Bill Belichick for a second. I know it's a dumpster fire now. I know Phil Jackson ended awful in New York. I remember. Trust me. I know it was crash and burn. I do. But, like, Belichick started in the 70s as a special teams coach and was the architect of not, like, any defense. One of the greatest defenses to slow down the other greatest coach.
He's the greatest head coach in the history of the sport.
He's one of the greatest coaches.
Yeah, I just said.
In any sport.
There you go. It's fine. He doesn't need me caping up for
it. But I don't think it's all because of Brady. That's just so...
A lot of it is, though, I think we learned. A lot of that. That second half, I'll give the first half, those first three Super Bowls, I'll give that to Bill. The last three was all offense and all Tom Brady. What he was able to do, you reference it all the time. In the fourth quarter against the Legion of Boom, oh my God!
Malcolm Butler, that play they rehearsed, Belichick was on it for like two straight weeks. He was like, this is what they're going
to
do.
Let's be honest. That was more of a Pete Carroll faux pas. Just give the ball to Marshawn and they're going to stop him. Like, come on, man. Come on. It was almost his defense pooping itself.
So let me get this straight. So in your personal record book, Bill has the three rings.
And Tom has the other three. That's exactly right. I mean, he's still a Hall of Fame coach.
Come on, dude.
He's still a Hall of Famer. But Tom gets the credit for those other ones.
Come on. Before we continue, part of what's made Andy Reid so great, right, and is he did it for so many different teams in so many different ways. I respect longevity and the ability, like you referencing Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
Pete Carroll was good in the 90s, and it wasn't great, but he was good in the 90s as a defensive coordinator and then became a head coach. Didn't work out for him, but he was solid. And then he ended up going to USC and was incredible at USC. And then he went to Seattle and he was incredible there and had a great run. Like that's a great comprehensive career. He did it in a variety of ways. like, we don't need to just crush him because he, if he sucks with the Raiders, he was always terrible. It was the Legion of Boom that carried him, even though he drafted them all. It was Russell Wilson who carried them. It's like, everybody should get a little bit of credit when you win it all.
I will give you credit on this one. It's taken me 3 weeks to be over Chip Kelly. Guy stinks. Done with him.
He's awful.
He compared Jordan Meredith, who is the worst center in the NFL, to Jason Kelsey. I'm done. I'm over it. By the way, you know, I want to compare Kyle Shanahan to what Steve Kerr is going through right now, because Kyle Shanahan has not won the big ones. And yet, I think the league, or the league circle of the NFL, is higher on Kyle Shanahan as a head coach than the league circle in the NBA is higher on Steve Kerr. Does that sound insane to you? I think the league circles, GMs, owners, what have you, think more highly of Kyle Shanahan in his sport as a head coach than the GMs and owners and governors in the NBA do of Steve Kerr.
I think the NBA as a whole dilutes coaches.
Mm. It's just the sport.
Yeah, okay. The sport that I don't agree with it, but I think that the league as a whole dilutes. Like, does anyone think the Oklahoma City coach right now is currently one of the great tacticians in the
Dave
game?
Dave Nault now.
No, how many names would the average NBA fan, and I'm not taking anything away from him, because I actually thought he did do a lot of really nice things,
yeah,
specifically against Indiana. How many names are the casual NBA fans referencing before they get to him as the NBA champ?
Oh, they're going Spoelstra over him. They're going Steve Kerr over him. There might go Ty Lue over him, right? Again, there's actually not that many head coaches that are like, that I really view as elite right now.
So, like, I watched Nick Nurse undress the Warriors and Steve Kerr. Now, there were injuries as well,
yeah,
but I thought he did a great job. Just lineups, the way they defended them, their offense, and how to go at the Warriors, and the way that they attacked Draymond. I thought Nick Nurse was excellent as a tactician that entire finals. Now, that was one playoff run.
Right.
People talk about Nick Nurse like he's a bum, like he's, yeah, like he doesn't know anything, and I don't agree with that.
Well, I gained a lot more respect than the guy that lost that NBA Finals and lost his best player in Tyrese Halliburton. It was Rick Carlisle.
Yeah, like, he's been a great coach for a long time.
He's been a great coach, but I think he was also a product of, yeah, well, you rode Dirk Nowitzki's coattails. He's one of the all-timers. So, you know.
That team played such a great brand of basketball.
It did, right?
Oh, my God. Sean Marion and Jason Terry and Jason Kidd.
It was so complimentary, and that's a reflection of coaching.
Awesome.
And that, you just go through the teams they beat leading up to that championship. It wasn't like they were beating scrubs.
No.
To beat that Lakers team that had been to three straight finals prior to that.
I just think we do that in the NBA,
yeah,
more so than any. And I think at times we will do it in the NFL. Like, Doug Peterson gets no love. Mike McCarthy gets no love.
Yeah. Well, look at the guy that just got axed, Michael Malone.
Yeah, Mike Malone.
He was pretty good coach, right? He won the Super Bowl. He won the NBA Finals, and then, I know, we all made fun of him because he's like, well, this is how a dynasty starts, and now he's doing games for ESPN.
I just think unfairly we rip a lot of the NBA coaches, and I think there's some really good coaches out there. Now, there's some of them suck. Doc Rivers, I'm looking at you.
A coach right now that's doing a hell of a job, and again, I'm going to keep talking about it, and if they win this week and go 4-0 after losing their best player on defense or maybe on the entire team, like, Kyle Shanahan, we are not talking enough about the coaching job he's doing, man.
And you ask the questions. Like, I do believe Kyle is probably more well thought of in his sport than maybe Kerr is in his. And as I said, it's a reflection of the NBA, not necessarily of Steve Kerr. But I also think Kyle's really good at what he does. And I think the proof is in the pudding of the last 8-9 years in the Niners system, how many guys have been awesome on both sides of the ball.
And speaking of the Niners, they're taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars at home at Levi Stadium. And if you want to go to the game, well, you want to stop by Laughing Monk Brewing at first in Sunnyvale for the kickoff show. 10 a.m. it starts. Evan Giddings, Lorenzo Neal. And you can watch all the early games there. They got great food. They got great fun. Games going on in the parking lot. It is awesome. And this is the best part. They got a free shuttle to and from the stadium. Again, free shuttle to and from the stadium. And you could park at Laughing Monk for free. So it's a double whammy of free right there. All you have to do to sign up and reserve a spot is go to 95centthegame.com, click on the kickoff show graphic, and then click on the Eventbrite link and sign up there. See you at Laughing Monk, and then see you at the game with the free shuttle, Joe. So, can't wait for that.
I wonder if you ask people who they have more faith in the Bay Area right now, Shanahan or Steve Kerr. Just ask it as blanket as that. Who do you trust more right now, Kerr or Shanahan?
Well, right now you have to go Shanahan. What he's been able to do with these first three games, right, has been he's lost his starting quarterback. He's gone to Mac Jones, won two in a row, and Mac Jones looked pretty freaking good. You lost Nick Bosa. You don't have George Kittle. Juwan Jennings has been out. You didn't start the season with Brandon Ayuk. And by the way, judging from the comments that John Lynch, general manager of the Niners, made yesterday on a radio station, might not see Brandon Ayuk at all this season.
Very bizarre.
We'll monitor that. He said he's not. The quote was, "It's not close to coming back." So, if you thought Brandon Ayuk was going to be a difference maker this season, maybe you should pump the brakes on that. I never really thought he was going to be. But again, not what you want to hear when everyone else is already hurt on the team around him, as we played the injury report game earlier. So what Kyle's been able to do to navigate all of these losses around, and obviously Robert Saleh gets some credit there, but you know what? Shanahan hired Saleh. So ultimately, it all goes to Shanahan, Joe. I have more faith in Kyle right now, just given what I've seen to start the season. Now, Steve Kerr, what he was able to do last time we saw him coaching actual NBA games was navigating what was then a 10th spot in the West all the way to the Western Conference semis. It's pretty incredible, man. It's pretty incredible. So, like, I take Shanahan, you take her. I don't think there's a wrong answer here to have more faith in right now. But if you're asking me...
Yeah, you have to choose one.
I have more faith currently in Kyle Shanahan and what he's been able to do so far this season. It's been pretty amazing. What say you?
Right now... Yeah, I'm going to take...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers, the celebrity guests? Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.